The following program contains views that are not those of WVTC, iNetworks Communications, their subsidiaries, affiliates, or financial supporters.
Hey y'all, welcome to the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show, where we get to the root of things and apply the Word of God to every aspect of our lives. Worship, application, and read is how we declare war upon the enemy and bring the light of God and His love for us into every atmosphere. Join your host, author, and singer-songwriter, April D. Metzler, as she and a few special guests dive deep into Scripture and demonstrate the Bible in action through their testimonies. April is passionate about understanding the heart behind every subject and helping you pursue a relationship with God for a victorious life every day. Are you ready for real, candid, and vulnerable conversations about God, His Word, and His love for you? Grab your Bible, pen, and study pad, and let's get it.
Hey everyone, I'm your host, April D. Metzler. I'm super excited to have you here on the show today for the Declaring War segment. And this is, of course, as you guys know, this is Declaring War over on WVTC Gospel Radio Network, a Kingdom collaboration that I am so honored to be a part of. I appreciate all that they're doing over there for the Kingdom of God to get the word out over the airwaves, as well as providing that music that is honoring God. And of course, you guys can catch my music over there on rotation as well. Just tune in to WVTCradio.com and get connected with their online radio station. And they've won the Stellar Awards last year, and I think that they're in the running this year somewhere in the process. So that's going to be pretty exciting to do a participation in that whole gathering down there that they have for that awards. So of course, we're going to be diving right into John chapter 17. We are a huge amount through the book of John. There's only 21 chapters, I believe. Yes, indeed. 21 chapters in the book of John, and we're on 17, you guys. So thank you so much for sticking with me this whole time. If you are just now tuning in to this broadcast, I encourage you to go back and go through the rest of the book of John. Besides 17, we've got 1 through 16 that we've already conquered in this series here on WVTC Gospel Radio Network. So for the RSVP show, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what God has in store on this chapter for you guys. If you haven't connected with me yet, you're more than welcome to connect with me on YouTube at April D. Metzler, or on social, same thing, same tag. And then, of course, my website is just a .com at the end of that. So it's super easy to find me anywhere that you want to find me that I'm on, of course. So other than that, I think that's it. That's all my little announcements and updates that we can get going on. I am doing a new series called Unity Is Now, and that's a Kingdom collaboration over on KingdomIndustriesUnited.com is where you can find that. And I am the CEO and founder of that nonprofit organization, and we're building that out to unite the kingdom one connection at a time. So if that's something that interests you, we are going to be starting some Kingdom Connection events in June. So be sure to go get registered on those and then catch these conversations about unity on that platform. And then, of course, you can find those on my YouTube channel as well. So, all right, you guys, we're going to dive right into this prayer, get this thing started. I think I've taken up enough of this time slot here with announcements. I've just got a lot of moving parts going on in this season, and all by the grace of God am I going to endure and persevere and accomplish that which He is putting on my heart to do in this season. So, let's go ahead and enter into prayer. And if you guys are driving, you know what I say, don't be closing no eyes while you're driving. Just keep them focused on the road. You go straight between those two lines there, right? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to dive into the depths of your love that is demonstrated through your word, Father. Thank you for connecting the dots back to our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you for reconciling us back to Him. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us and guiding us every step of the way, for always being with us, abiding here with us, dwelling within us, giving us the sound counsel that we need, the help that we need as we go through these days here on this earth of a broken world, Father. Thank you for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus as we seek the kingdom of God, seek your righteousness, Father, and just seek your love through Jesus. Let us understand this more. Let us know this more. Help us to know you more, Father, through your word, through your Son, through Holy Spirit. We lean into you and not our own understanding. We want to know what you know and look at things from your perspective, not our earthly perspective, a heavenly perspective, a kingdom perspective, Father. So we ask these things to be done unto us. We ask these things also to be done unto every person that is within the sound of my voice, that is catching this broadcast, Father, that this broadcast is shared out to, Father. Put it on the hearts of every listener, specific names to connect them to this broadcast so that they can receive this revelation and understanding of what it looks like to know you more, Father. We just thank you so much for the word. We know that it is sent out and it accomplishes that which it is sent out to do. It does not return to you void, Father. And so we know that there is power, mighty, moving, working, changing, impacting power in the word of God. And we thank you that you have given us this blueprint, this covenant promise that is consecrated and has been provided to us through the blood of Christ. We thank you for the story, the history. We thank you for everything that is in these words that are set before us that are of your truth, Father. Teach us what it looks like to understand that more. We seek your wisdom, your understanding, your knowledge of you, Father, so that we can be further enlightened to what the hope of your calling is, Father. We just thank you so much for your love for us. We ask that you pour into us an even further, deeper awareness of your love for us as we yield to your ways, as we submit these burdens before you, Father, and trade out our yoke that we have for yours. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things, knowing that when we ask these things in your Son's name, you will do them so that you are glorified through your Son. And we give a yes and an amen in full agreement, right, you guys? All right. Amen. All right. And yes, praise the Lord. So John chapter 17, it says, beginning in verse 1, obviously, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, thy hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. To be in that moment, to stand witness to such a powerful prayer, just observing it. Can you imagine what it must have been like? I don't know if he was by himself, but it was like right before that in John 16, like we were listening to last week, you know, going through the word here, he was actually talking directly to his disciples and, you know, telling them, you know, in a little while, You're not going to see me anymore. I'm not going to be here anymore. And he's been pouring these things into him. And it says Jesus spoke these things and lifting up his eyes to heaven. So it doesn't say specifically that he went anywhere. He was still in that moment with the disciples. So just imagine, you know, that song, I Can Only Imagine, what it might be like When I Walk by Your Side. Yeah. Those lyrics, you know, just think about that for a moment. They were walking by his side, you know. They were in this moment with him. And the hour had come. And they hear him say, the hour has come, to the Father. Like, he just immediately lifts up his eyes to heaven, right? And says these things. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. And I love that part, too. It's like, it's not that Jesus was looking for some self-exaltation of the man that he was. He was knowing that once he was glorified, God would be glorified through him. And it's a yielding, it's a submission, it's a willing to do that which he was instructed to do, you know. And he said he has authority also that was given to him by the Father over all flesh. Let's not look past that as well. So if Jesus Christ has authority over all flesh, what can we do when Christ is in us, working in and through us? Like, he has authority over all flesh given to him. It was a gift. He received it. He operated in it. And now he operates in and through us in that same powerful authority over all flesh. So when it comes to our personal struggles, it's something that we can pull out of that, is that we can know that even though we are having difficulty, we struggle in the fleshly things of this world, we are dealing with temptations and things of immoral nature, or persuasions of evil, or things of that nature, you know, like when we have those things come against us, even in our thought life, and not just in the physical, even in our emotional life, or even just in that spiritual capacity as well, we can rest in the knowledge of God that is set before us in this passage in verse 2. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. You know, it's in him. It goes back to the in him operation. If we rely on ourselves and our understanding and our strength, we run into these brick walls, and we end up even doing stumbling, and backsliding is a Christianese word usage. I don't really like it, but we all fall short, right? But in him we don't. In him we are being renewed. We are being transformed into his image, not our own. It's a losing the things of the world in order to gain what he offers, which is this eternal life he has promised. He gives it. He may give this, right? And so what is eternal life, though? I love 3. It just answers it. Like, so just to make it very, very simple, there's nothing that, you know, a good teacher will make complicated. It's a simple understanding. It's easy to grasp a hold of. So let's not get it twisted. Let's not get complicated on this. He says very clearly in 17:3, it says, this is eternal life, that they may know you. And he's talking about God the Father, the only true God, right? And that they may know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Okay, that's pretty cool. Like, it actually... You can find cross references to the context here when it talks about this is eternal life, and if you get caught up on not really grasping the understanding of what kingdom is, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's now. It's in us, and Christ is in us, right? And so, to know this, we understand that we have it. It is ours. It was given to us freely as a gift, bestowed through the means and access point back to God through Jesus Christ. And so these are not complicated things. It's just sometimes it's difficult to believe in such a thing, And so that's where we have to remove our human understanding out of the equation and be intentionally teachable at the foot of the throne, not the foot of the cross, the foot of the throne, because this is stuff of eternal nature. It's stuff after the cross that happened. It's past the ascension and seated in heavenly places, and it's the with him. We are seated with him in heavenly places. It's a connection of understanding that we are children of God and operating in the full authority that is ours, that was given unto us through Jesus Christ as kingdom citizens of heaven. And that is now, not something after physical death. It is in operation now in the world, because we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, right? And so here we go. We're going to go. That's his petition to the Father. And now he's going to shift his attention over to the disciples in verses 6 through 19. And so he is still petitioning in prayer. He hasn't stopped that part of it. He's still got his attention and focus completely on his communication and relationship with the Father, because the hour has come. This is a intentional moment. This is a setting aside this time to prioritize what is important, right? So are we making sure to prioritize the priorities? What are our priorities? And when we petition in prayer, when we come before the Lord and we talk to him about these things, like, what is our focus? You know, this is something to consider, because his focus starts with the Father, and then and the relationship with him and the Father, and then it shifts over to other people that he's directly discipling, pouring into, mentoring, giving of himself to, leading and teaching and guiding, right? Building them up. And it says in 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you have gave me, I have given given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. Verse 9 says, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And I don't want you guys to get hung up on this, but that's that oneness, that unification between God and Jesus. They have become, they are close like that. They're like that, you know? And it's not, again, it's not complicated. It's unity in action. It's kingdom in action. And it's going to be interesting. It'll pivot here in a second. So on 11, it says, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. That they may be one, even as we are. Grasp a hold of that, right? Are we unified in Christ? Are we coming together? Are we of the same mind, of the same spirit, or are we operating in division? Are we separating ourselves from God? Nothing can separate us from his love, but are we stepping out of his presence? Or are we drawing near to him so he can draw near to us? Verse 12 says, while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Now, I'm going to stop right there, of course, and just, highlight a few things here. We know that when Jesus reiterates something, he takes the time, sets that aside, intentionally repeats himself. There's a reason for it. And in this passage, he says it multiple times here. He brings up the word, about how he has given the disciples the word. They believed it, they've received it, right? And then he also says that he's asking God to sanctify them in truth. And what is the truth? It is God's word. And so he also takes it another step further with the I am in you and you are in me, and in that conversation, right, he says that I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. So it's back to that relational aspect. You know, Jesus submitted to the sanctification process of becoming holy, you know, as God is holy. He yielded, he submitted, he walked that out. He honored God's ways. He kept his commandments. He walked in such a way that was a manner worthy of the calling that he had as the Son of Man, right? But, of course, he was the Son of God as well. But what he said, that these things that I do, greater things will you do. Right? And so even greater things. So these things are achievable, is I share that to say that, you know, Jesus operated in them in such a way that the disciples had a living, live color example here, so that they knew how to do it and how to achieve it. And then they were, through that example, being taught how to teach others. In the same manner, in the same way. And so we find those teachings, though, in the Word of God. They were handed down through the writings of, you know, the people that are referenced here in the Bible. And even in the Old Testament, we find that, you know, Jesus was in operation at that time, because we can easily see in 5, it says, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Right? So, even in the Old Testament, you would be able to see and find that thread that connects everything that was in operation back to God and back to the Word, you know, back to Jesus Christ. Oh man, there's a lot here. Some of this is deep and some of it is easy to understand. Trying not to go too deep with it, but just know that these things are said in repetition for a reason. They're intentional. Especially that's just one part that it repeats. The other one is, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world," is said 2 times. The whole entire sentence is said 2 times. And it's a big differentiation here of what the world is like and what we are like as children of God. So once that believing and receiving and accepting God's truth is established in our hearts, and we receive Holy Spirit, we receive Jesus Christ, we receive God, you know, as ultimately the one true God, right? We believe upon these things, and we speak them, you know, out, and understand that these are, this is this covenant understanding, this commitment, this dedication to this new way of existing, the newness in Jesus Christ that we find in our lives, you know, we become set apart, and the things that which we used to do won't be something that we seek after any further. There's a shift in our atmosphere of life, and we see things differently. Our perception shifts. Our God, as we yield, as we submit to the process of the sanctification through His Word, that's the tool. That's the key. Seeking after understanding, and all you're getting, get understanding, right? I say that often because it's true. Without understanding, you know, it says the people, His people perish. I just encourage you to seek the Lord. That's what we can grab a hold of on this, to draw near to Him. And if there's anything of the world that you know or has been brought to your awareness, I encourage you to, you know, those types of behaviors, thought processes, things, actions, choices, even who we invite into our inner circle of people that we're connected with, I encourage you to reevaluate that, reassess that before the Lord, bring that into consideration as you seek His guidance in that, through His Word and through prayer, and practicing His presence, and He'll reveal His truth to you, and then you'll be able to choose whether or not you want to be sanctified in that area of your life. And so that's the kicker there. Like, you have a choice to yield to the sanctification process, which is a renewal and transformation piece. And it's not a one and done thing. Sometimes it takes practicing these things that we've learned in order to move past and receive healing and receive that healing. By healing, I mean that renewal, that restoral back to God in fullness, you know. So let's go on to 20. I think I talked that one over and over again on that. So hopefully someone grabbed a hold of something in there and something was fruitful that I said. But let's go ahead and let the Word do what it does, right? So we're shifting over to Christ, Jesus actually focusing on petitioning for all believers now. So He's prayed to God, focusing on God about how He's, you know, through Himself, He'll be glorifying God. Then He shifts over to so honoring God, honoring disciples, and now honoring all believers is where we're at. And so 20 says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will make and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. So this one's, you know, this one's a little bit deeper. It's that oneness. It's the fullness of God being talked about. If you are new to the faith, new, you know, brother or sister in Christ, this is going to be a little bit more to chew on than, you know, what you're accustomed to. And it probably won't make a whole lot of sense right now. But the more that you draw near to God through Jesus Christ and yielding to Holy Spirit, you know, and his teaching and guiding, the more revelation that you'll receive. If you want to delve into some good prayer petitioning concerning this, I would jump on over to Ephesians 1. And a really cool, helpful thing to do in Ephesians 1 is to take your name and replace it. It begins in verse 15, and it says, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." So here's what you would do. You say, Father, the God, and so God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to me, April, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you, God. I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened so that I will know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, God? And what is the surpassing greatness of your power toward me and those who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of your might, which you brought about in Christ. I believe that you brought about these things in Christ, right? When you raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly places, God, I believe this. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, I believe this. And every name that is named, Jesus is above, I believe this. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things in subjection under the feet of Jesus. All things, Father. And you gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Thank you, Father, for giving us the fullness of him who fills all in all. Thank you, Father, right? So that is something that you can petition on your behalf, and that's just an example. But you're petitioning on behalf of yourself for this understanding, this spiritual wisdom and revelation to the knowledge of God and understanding the love of Jesus Christ that, you know, was poured out for us. So that's a great prayer that you can pray so that you can grasp these connections in the scripture when it talks about you and me and me and you, Father, you know, when Jesus is petitioning these things, and then us in them. That it's a connection, it's a fullness of reconciliation back to God through Christ. It's a knowing him, seeking his kingdom, his righteousness, and then all these things, including the understanding that you're searching for, will be given unto you, is what scripture promises. And so, but it all begins with the seeking. And so once we shift our focus from what we have grown accustomed to, what we have known from this point in our lives before Jesus, like our understandings, our experiences, our interpretations, our just in general existence of life as we know it, That's funny. So, as I said that, like, the song, it's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know what the rest of the lyrics are, but that line came up. And if the lyrics don't honor God, just, you know, just scratch that. But that song came to mind. But it is, when we meet Jesus, that's what happens. It's the end of the previous world as we knew it. And there is a knowing God and a newness of knowing him that has absolutely nothing to do with our previous comprehension and understanding abilities. It just doesn't. And so I just, I know that the world can jade us. I know that there can major trust issues that we walk into this relationship with Jesus. It's like baggage that we're carrying in, just like when we're dating someone new, and we've been in previous relationships. There's a tendency for us to, we need to unpack and do away with whatever baggage we had in a previous relationship before we enter into a new one. That's the healthy way to operate. So we're giving this new relationship the optimal opportunity, the optimal chance at success, right? It's the same thing, though. Like, we had a relationship with the world, right? And there's a lot, speaking for myself, there's a lot. I would love to just extend that, and I can hold a note really long as a singer, so I'm not going to do that, though, to y'all. But there is a lot of baggage that the world gives us. And so when we enter into this relationship, this new relationship with Jesus Christ that reconciles us back to God the Father, and we start learning who he is, who the Son is, who the Father is, and who the Holy Spirit is, like the facets of God's character in fullness, then that, you know, if we enter in without baggage, we're good. But 99.9% of the time, we're entering in with baggage, because God meets us exactly where we're at. So there is a sanctification process. There is a process that we walk through in order to learn about him and who he is, and then unpack and donate or get rid of or trash the baggage that we have acquired. We all acquire from the world and the relationship we once had with it. And so that's really, I think, what's coming up today in this particular passage as I read it again. This is not really, this relationship example and analogy really hasn't came up before when I'm reading this. So I'm sure that this is for someone. But it might, you know, might break some bondage there, understanding it and looking at it from that perspective of a relationship, because it is a relationship. And we hear that spoken of more often nowadays than we used to. There was a lot of religion tied to God, a lot of works-oriented, legalistic approach, you know, religious practices, things of that nature, traditionalism, and things that were brick walls or blocks that stopped a lot of people when it comes to connecting back to God through Christ in that relationship capacity, by the leading of Holy Spirit. So I think that if you can look at it like that, you have an old relationship and a new one. And how are you coming into that new one? And as if you've been in this new relationship for a while, are there some things of the old relationship that you're still carrying around that you have yet to unpack and evaluate whether or not they are fruitful to your new relationship or harmful? All right, so that's all I have for today, you guys. Love you much. God loves you so much. You are not alone. And love you with the love of Christ that I know so far that I've learned so far. And I just send you encouragement today in what you are doing so that you can draw closer to God, be intentional, and make that time to be in His presence and learn from Him what it looks like in action to know Him more. All right, you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this visit of the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show. We hope these moments of reflection and stillness for victory in your pursuit of God were a blessing to you. We encourage you to continue to worship, apply, and read the Word of God every single day while today is still today. Stay connected with April at April D. Metzler through social media. New music singles and her debut music album are available to add to your favorite playlist on streaming platforms. And you can get a copy of her book wherever books are sold. Learn more about the great things she is doing to bless God and His people on her website at aprildmetzler.com. Thank you for joining this visit with us. Always remember, God loves you.
Views made on the preceding program are not those of WVTC Radio, iNetworks Communications, or their financial supporters.
Winning victory through Christ, WVTC, Allsup, Chicago, and iNetworks Communications Station.